Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Diva of Days. You can find us on our blog on www.divaofdole, and we're also on Facebook at Diva of Days of Our Lives, and we're also on Twitter at Diva of Dole, and you can also find us on iTunes. And that was our theme song, Ride of the Valkyries, and we'll talk about that later. There was another tribute to Stefano this week. So I have Angela here with me. Hi, Angela.
Hey, Marianne. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Yeah.
I'm good.
I was playing the song maybe just a little bit longer because on Wednesday's show, they had a tribute to Stefano. So before we get into that, I just want to pimp our friends Bob and Amy Hapka. At Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka, and to wish Bob Hapka a happy birthday. So if he's out there celebrating, he can call in if he wants. So it's his birthday today. So he can call in if he wants. And let's see. And also at Teo Penglis and at Lauren Coslow and at Causey Hooch. And Anna, I don't know if she'll be here tonight, at Diva of Dole Carrie. So we want to talk about, I guess, on Wednesday was the show for Stefano. They were all in the Brady Pub celebrating his death, I guess you could say.
It's hard to figure out how they do a salute when you have a character, an evil character. I mean, but he is such a fantastic character and has meant so much. I know to me and my family, people that have watched Days for a long, long time, and Joe Mascola is just a fantastic actor. So even if it was awkward to do it, however they would do it, I'm glad that they made the effort to. And because you were, can you tell some of the flashbacks they used?
Some of the flashbacks. Yes, they were talking to. I think when it was with John and Marlena, when he was gonna John's head or whatever the one time, and he was like her queen of the night. She was the queen of the night during then. And also, I think, well, they didn't go back. They showed flashbacks with Roman and A, but it was Josh Taylor's Roman. They couldn't go that far back because he was there. Actually, who all was there was Roman and Abe and Kate and Victor, Caroline, Hope, John and Marlena. Caroline had them all come to the pub, and she brought out Sean's best, Irish whiskey, and they were all drinking and more or less reminiscing and telling the stories. And Roman and Abe were saying about the many times that, he slipped through their fingers, and we always thought he was dead, and is he really dead? Is he truly, sincerely dead? Is what I think. Think of that from the old Wizard
true.
Of Oz.
It's true.
Because they said, because they kind of made it allude to the fact, well, is he going to come back again? Because look how many times he came back before. And they said, Sean D. reviewed the, that it was really him, and he's supposedly dead this time. So, and
well,
then they had Kate.
If it's true.
Yeah.
if it's true, and maybe we see him as a ghost. But I know I salute Joe Mascola because he's just been a bigger than life character, actor as that character, Stefano. And my grandmother has passed on probably 20 years ago now or more. But I would call her. When I was in high school, I would call her every day because she always watched Days. And this was actually, folks, it was before the VCR. And she would give me the highlights of the show, and she'd always say, "Oh, that's Stefano." And I can remember that. I can still hear her voice saying that. And, because he was the character she loved to hate. And my granny was a very sweet, gentle person. And she loved Stefano. And I think that that's true for a lot of us.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Could you hear me?
Okay, yeah. You know what? I'm having, trouble with the dashboard. So you're able to hear me?
Okay. I can hear you fine now.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know. I'm having trouble with my dashboard thing. It kind of, took me off, and then okay. So Stefano he's going to be missed, and as they were talking to everybody around on the table, a lot of them had, not only were they upset about him, the things that he had done, they all kind of had a little bit of a soft spot for him. Victor is going to lose an adversary, and he's kind of going to miss him. And even Kate, they were talking to Kate because Kate was married to him, and they were kind of getting on her, about him,
When that happened, do you remember, and I'm sure you do,
Hi, Anna.
Hello. Sorry for my late arrival. I was listening.
No, that's
Anna.
Okay.
Hey, Angela.
Yeah.
I heard the part where you were talking about Stefano. That was such a good episode.
Go ahead, Angela. Yeah.
It was maybe 2008, 2009, they really first planted the very first little hints about Stefano and Kate, and I was so surprised, and I thought, I wonder how that would work. And then it was months and months and months that seemed like had gone by. And again, this could have been other writing regimes that were in between. I can't remember the date. But, then all of a sudden, of course, they got married. And I was surprised, but I thought it's brilliant. And I remember when going to California and when I met Lauren Coslow and got to talk with her for just a short minute or two, I told her, I said, I think that has just turned out to be great. I said, when I first thought about it, I wondered, wow, I wonder how that's going to work. And then I said, it just really did. It was great. And she said, we thought we were really excited too.
Yeah. No, it really was. It was like the Dark Queen and King of Salem kind of thing. So they were very much, and the way the drama played out at their wedding and all, and how much angst she had about marrying him at first, and then she really did fall in love with him. And it's kind of, in a way, it was kind of, I like the way they wrote that memorial episode, because it's like you won't have him to kick around anymore. Well, gee, we kind of liked kicking him around. We were trying to catch the SOB for 30 years, but, we didn't do that. But now we're going to kind of miss that, So I thought it was neat because they know the fans are going to miss Stefano and are missing Stefano. They know that. So I thought that was really, I'm glad you brought that up because you guys brought that up because it was really touching, I thought. It was very well done.
Maybe someday, I don't know when they would do it, when it would even be appropriate to do it. Back when we had SoapNet, on television, they did stuff like this all the time for, anniversaries and holidays and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But, they do have there's some great interviews with Joe Mascola, I don't know, through Soap Talk or through other programs. There's even an old podcast. Don't know how old it is. Maybe after one of his returns, I think it may have been 2007, 2008-ish. He was on the Daytime Confidential and Jamie Giddens and some of those guys interviewed him. And for a long time, it was posted actually on Joe Mascola's website, too. And then if you go back in the history on, like, iTunes with Daytime Confidential, there is an interview with Joe. And it is a fabulous mm-hmm. interview because he really talks about his career and, you know, the ups and downs of the writing on the show. And, you know, he doesn't pull any punches. He's just, but he's just, you know, like I said, he's just a very talented man and has just meant so much to us. And like I said, I'm going to miss the character, Stefano.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody mm-hmm. can replace him. You know, Victor came on in around 85 when Joe went off.
I don't think they're going to really try to replace him. I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, oh, I know. No. When he left and went to Bold and the Beautiful, which that's when they brought on Victor.
Oh, that's right. Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
what I like, too, is that at the end, he kind of got the last word in. You know, the Phoenix still rose again. He might be a ghost.
Did you see the end?
And I love the music. I love the way, you know, I thought, hey, wait, that's our theme song. Oh, wait, no,
that's our
theme
song. I know. You know, we picked the right
theme
song kind of all.
But that
like,
was a
you
great
know,
way. And Angela, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm probably sure you probably did, but Mark Higley was the one, surprisingly, that wrote that episode, and he was also the one that wrote the episode where Stefano was killed. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know. Maybe they did it all at once. Maybe he did it all at once. Maybe he kind of did the memorial episode on the heels of that. You know, I'm not sure mm-hmm. how that works, but he was credited as the writer for that script.
Like the way it was done, Anna? Did you get to see that?
Part
on Wednesday?
Yeah, I thought it was
really,
honestly, the main one that I got to see this week, but it was really
uh-huh.
well done. And
the
I'm
whole
glad,
hour was kind of like
I'm not sure what
devoted.
You covered before I came on, but you know what I thought, it was so due him, the actor, him, the character, that they would devote a whole episode. And I thought that was really cool, you know, and then it was like, and I also like the fact that Kate was actually invited because, you know, so many times we Kate fans get pissed because she gets excluded. Like, there have been funerals that she's had to sit outside and, you know, or drink at the bar because she was left out or, you know, whatever. You know, it's like there have been so many things that Kate, that, you know, should have been involved in and only either played a minor role or didn't get to fully participate. So I thought it was cool that she, you know, that basically you were looking at a table of vets, you know, people who've been on that show for, you know, 20 plus years.
Many interactions with Stefano, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was really beautifully done. And I don't know.
I liked how they were celebrating his death, but they were also celebrating his life and how they kind of had some little bit of respect for him. And like even Kate kind of had a soft spot for him and Victor and kind of, And John kind of gave a toast to him at the end.
The whole relationship with Kate and Stefano really showed a much, you know, kind of the warmer side of Stefano. And I wish mm-hmm. I could remember exactly which episode it is. I can't over the years. But, you know, there was one and they were in, of course, the famous, really, the real DeMiro living room, not the small version, the real one. And I remember they were excited about something and, you know, they gave each other a quick kiss and were excited.
Yes.
And it's like he pulled her back in and they kissed again. And
I remember that.
I mean, it was just wonderful. It really was. It really just showed a passion and showed a sweet side to a very complicated character, complicated man.
Well said. And I think they also did that with his grandchildren. It's like he was picking his children off one by one over the years, but he always like had such a tender spot for his children, you know, his grandchildren. So that was also a way, you know, Nino, was it Nono? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was sweet that Abe even acknowledged, as much as you know he loathed Stefano in so many ways for what he did to Lexi and everything. At the same time, it was sweet how he, you know, mentioned Theo and how good Stefano was to Theo and everything. And, you know, let's be honest, this character was larger than life, but what made him have longevity was the fact that he was a villain, and I mean, he did the most horrendous, awful things to everybody in Salem that we love, but he was the villain you love to hate and then love again, because he, Joe Mascolo, you know, brought that to the character, you know, I think, you know, brought the humanity to him, you know.
Well, and the thing, you have to really salute Pat Falkensmith, the late Pat Falkensmith, because she's the one that really wrote and created Zephino and the Damaras. There were other evil families, but there was never one like the Damaras. And I know they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it in that special this week because I know, sadly, of course, we don't have James Scott. But I think that James Scott and Joe Mascola played some tremendously great, exciting. I'm keep saying the same words over and over again. But there was a lot of excitement, and you could tell that they enjoyed working together. And there was just a lot of nuance between those two actors, I thought, and I wish that we could have seen some more of like Little Johnny and EJ and that type of thing, because there were some really fabulous times on that show with that. And with Celeste, did they show anything with Celeste, the original Celeste?
No. I didn't see any Celeste, no.
Because, I mean, there's some fabulous scenes with her, too. Yeah, and I can't think, Tanya Boyd, I think is her name. But, you know, she was on the show for quite a number of years. And, again, she was fantastic playing with Joe Mascola as well. They all were. Like I said,
That would have been a challenge to have to figure out what flashbacks to show and what to have each character talk about, because it was like there was so much, you know. So I give credit to the writers for really finding a way to do all that in one episode.
Well, I think it was good, and they kept it, you know, within the fictional world of Salem. That's why I was saying maybe at some point, someday, for whatever reason, I would love for them to do a special and really just have kind of, you know, it's kind of like have that fourth wall down, and you have the actors, and they're talking about their characters and the other actors and what they really enjoyed working about. Like I said, SoapNet gave us a few opportunities like that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity, like I said, on the podcast I was talking about on Daytime Confidential, which was several years ago, he really talked about things himself with Jamie Giddens. I just think there was just a magic there, and we were all really blessed to watch him. And I think it would be interesting to hear from the actors themselves, too, not as the characters, because having Wayne Northrop not, and just like you don't have EJ there, you know, as James Scott, you know, you didn't have Wayne Northrop there as Roman. And, I mean, probably that one of the most, I guess, perennial moments with Stefano was, you know, the fight, you know, with Roman, you know, between, you know, with Wayne Northrop and Joe Mascola. And, you know, everyone thinking that he was falling to his death. And, you know, just there was just so much. And the show, the good thing about Days is that the show is over 50 years old. You know, Joe Mascola was on there as Stefano, close to 30 years, you know, because he was off and on a little bit in between there. And, I mean, I can just sit here and just name off scenes. You know, I can't even tell you what year they were, or exactly what storyline, but I remember him.
They could have taken a whole week if they wanted to and done it, you
exactly.
know, flashbacks as there were for Stefano, but, you know. But, I think they did it well. And also the scenes with Chad, they were really good, too, when Stefano's ghost came back to him. That was on this week, too. Mm-hmm. And that was really well done. It was like, Chad finally got a chance to speak, and he said, you know, you never listened to me. And Chad and Stefano more or less said, well, now I'm here to listen. And so he let, you know, Chad say his piece and he more or less told him to be his own man and to, you know, so that was really, and then there was like, they had this really huge hug, and you could just see the emotion between Billy Flynn and Joe. And it was, that was nice to see. I don't know if either one of you got to see that or not.
Well, I did not see it, and I still haven't seen it, like I said. But I'll say I think that Billy Flynn, you know, is really starting to grow as an actor on the show. You know, I was not a big Billy Flynn fan from the beginning, but I was not a Chad fan either, ever. So they really had to work to kind of win me over, because I really was never really satisfied. I felt like the Chad character kind of just was invented on the side, and then they had to create a story around it. But I think that the opportunity that Billy Flynn has had in the last year or two on the show, I'm not quite sure how long he's been on, you know, working with Joe and working with Teo, has really helped him as an actor, you know, because he didn't have a lot of acting experience before. Billy Flynn didn't, before he came to the show. And of course, you know, one of the virtues of working on a soap that, you know, is a serial like this, is that you have a tremendous amount of time and opportunity to get exposed and really to, you know, learn your chops. And I think Joe Mescola and Teo both, you know, have been great mentors to Billy Flynn's character and the performance he's given us.
Yeah, so it would have been nice to see, you know, with that. But of course, they were celebrating his death. So I guess you wouldn't want to have Andre there. But anyway, he kind of had his with Stefano.
I always
already.
Like to see Andre or Tony. I don't care how they work.
I know. It would have been kind of cool if they could have had him in a flashback
right
somehow.
We're planning a breakout, you know, the Hoochies and,
yeah,
and anybody.
Oh, yeah.
We're tweeting going on now that we're tweeting to NBC and Days, you know, get Andre out of jail, hashtag free Andre. So, yeah, because he's been missing for a week, and there's a difference in Days when he's not on. So but we're hoping to get him out of jail soon. So.
Well, I am too, because we waited, you know, again, it was the six-month scenario, but, you know, it seemed like we waited, or at least it did to me, it seemed like we waited a lifetime for Teo to first air, because what, they told us to announce it in April or March, and,
well,
I mean, it was September before he was really on the show, so a whole week without him was sad. He needs to be on.
I have on. Andre scheming behind the scenes, and, you know, we'll see him in no time. But, in the meantime, in fact, Teo just tweeted today that Andre doesn't like the food in jail. He thinks that Rafe is experimenting in the kitchen.
I'm sure it does not meet Andre's standards.
I wonder if they serve Costco nuts there.
I don't know, but I'm sure Andre
given,
is dying.
Given Teo's strong aversion to Costco.
Yes, I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, coming from Teo especially, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so Andre's
awesome.
Tweeting now, so so I don't know if Rafe will tweet back or whatever, I don't know, but so yeah, so that was what's going on now. Let's see what else. Stephen, did you see Stephen, Kayla, and Joey? I guess Joey killed Ava, but then now he confessed to Kayla, you know, that it was really him that shot Steve. And so now they're trying to get Steve off, and Bell's his lawyer, and he's going to plead self-defense. So, of course, we know Steve's probably...
He needs to get off. I mean, that really... I'm not interested in seeing Stephen Nichols suffer. Bless his heart. I mean, I want him on the show, in love with his sweetness, and them working through things together. That was what was promised to us.
Together. Yeah, they're going to work together to find something more out about Ava. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that he's going to, you know, Bell's going to get him off or whatever. So that's kind of where that
storyline. I feel like that Ava story was really a kind of disappointment. I would have much preferred to see, you know, the characters of Steve and Kayla doing almost anything, even if something mundane and day to day, than to, yeah, because I love Tamara Braun, But, I mean, I just don't think that was a good use of her time on the show.
No, and it's kind of the same plot line as it was before. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just never cared for her. I don't know what it is why people just think she's so great. I just don't see it, but I guess. I don't know. And
well,
she won an Emmy
for
Days. I
loved her as Carly on General Hospital. Maybe that's why. She was really good on General Hospital.
Did she win an Emmy for Days when she played Ava
the
last time?
She did win an Emmy for Days. Yeah, the Gary Tomlin brought her on, and I think they brought her on and wrote the part specifically to really try to, see if she could get an Emmy, because she was overlooked multiple times when she was on General Hospital. And if you are a Maurice Bernard fan, which I am on General Hospital, I really loved all the years that he and Tamara were, Carly and Sonny.
Oh, okay.
So
sometimes, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you not like that actor sometimes. I don't know.
But she was good, and I give Tamara credit. No one more than probably any of us despised the story of Taylor, Nicole's sister, that came to Salem. And,
Blog Talk drops people on purpose when they bring up that character's name. Just saying.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it was a horrendous story. You have to hand it to Tamara Braun.
Yeah.
When Days got in was stuck between a rock and a hard place, she came in and it hadn't been even that long since she had been on as Ava, and she did an amiable job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been a tough assignment for anybody. I give her credit for that. I'm not saying it was an award winning performance, but
how conceived that whole thing was. Ugh. But yeah,
it was awful. It was, it goes down. It's in there with the elephant list.
What I would like to do is find out what online law school program Bell and some of these other folks take to become experts in criminal, civil contract.
They have a lawyer on there, and they do it all, especially if you can do it remote on a boat.
And as distracted as Belle is with her, personal life, we'll just say as graciously as we can, that I would be scared to death to refer her to anybody I actually loved.
Did you see Philip more or less tell her? He says, "You don't know what you want." She's playing this game with Philip. And he's more or less ready to walk away because he feels that she's just playing. If you look at it with any level of reality,
it means that Dell would have had to have taken some of these courses on board the fancy face.
They probably didn't even have Wi-Fi out there. They probably didn't even have Wi-Fi out in the middle of the ocean.
Isn't he some kind of forensic detective or something now?
I'm impressed. Yeah, he thought he was signing up for debate class, but
I honestly like Martha, this Bell Martha Madison with this Philip better than I like her with Sean, with Brandon Beamer.
Yeah, well, of course they're writing it that way too, which is fine. But
I guess. They're really not. You don't even really.
I love Martha Madison. So far I haven't seen a lot of redemptive qualities in the returned Bell.
She's trying to make her a completely different character.
Has he even called her Tink yet? Or was that old John?
I
can't remember.
No, it was old John. It was old John, and then he didn't remember, and he kept calling her the wrong name when he was Robo John. They haven't had a lot of scenes together at all. But again, that shows the sweetness side of Belle. My late mother loved Belle with the other actress, but she was very sweet.
Have you seen that it's kind of blatant, but with Sierra, Hope, and Claire. When Claire comes over, Claire came over to see Sierra, and anytime she's with Hope, it's always, "Hi, how you doing?" It's never, "Hi, Grandma." They never refer to Hope as Grandma.
Oh, that's true.
Ever. I'll bet you that's in Christian Alfonso's contract.
Yeah. It's so funny when Claire, like, "Hi, honey." It's always, she says, "Hi." She doesn't say, she greets her, but she
say
doesn't
Aunt Claire.
Oh,
I'm
say, "Hi,
Aunt
Grandma,
Sierra."
How are you today? Never, you know.
She doesn't say Aunt Sierra, right?
Yeah. Well, that
well, you know, Deidre Hall did not. Deidre Hall kind of eased into getting called grandmother.
I remember that.
But yeah,
yeah,
they never called her granny either.
That's true.
Yeah, they didn't use it around her, but I just have to laugh every time. It's almost like you forget.
That's
that,
a good point.
You know, she's your granddaughter. You know. Yeah. So that whole thing with Sierra now struggling with.
I'm so anxious to see them wrap this thing up. It sounds like that, you know, they've conceded it was ill advised to have done the Sierra and Chase thing. And I honestly, it's not the thing that I'm most disappointed ever with the show. There's been a couple of things I won't probably list it in that category, but really, I mean, someone should have caught that long before it ever aired and said this was just a poor idea.
Yes. Where have you, because I totally agree, but where have you seen, because I haven't really been on Twitter a lot, where have you been seeing the consensus that it was ill-advised or whatever?
Well,
it's kind of been
talked
all over
about
Twitter.
It on this show a good bit.
It's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just didn't know if like somebody like, bloggers were saying stuff about it, or I haven't really seen too much, but I agree.
I haven't been on Twitter very much. I'd like to hear. I would think by now. Again, I haven't heard it yet, but I would think by now probably Jamie Giddens, would probably have had something to say.
Well, and if you do the math,
it.
That had to have been. Yeah,
I haven't seen much. Of course, I've not been in a lot of sites, but I haven't really seen too
had
much.
Been, but those had to have been Josh Griffith's scripts because the story.
Yeah,
because,
mm-hmm.
So
it was his writing.
But it's kind of like after the horse has left the barn, kind of hard to put it back in at this point. So,
you're 5 months ahead. Yeah, it's kind of hard to change that story now.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's ridiculous. And, you know, it really, from a PR perspective, and we've all had this, and I know I'm saying something that all of you have said before and we've all said before, but it is absolutely ludicrous for them to have some quote. I don't know if it was in Soap Opera Digest or if it was in what the publication was, but somebody a couple of weeks ago had, you know, said that, you know, that Ken Corday had, you know, was really appalled about the whole thing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking, where were you 6 months ago? Why are you not looking at what's going on before it goes on the air? You know, don't tell
right,
us now after it's aired and nobody likes it that you are appalled.
Right.
I'm sorry. He loses credibility with me when stuff like that comes out. And this isn't the first time.
A long time ago. But I don't know how this is going to get resolved. But I just know that she told Claire, and I saw in the previews that Joey and Theo go after, and they both have him in a headlock. So I don't know what they're going to do to him. Then there's a scene where they have him tied to a chair, and Sierra is talking to him. So I don't know, is Sierra going to, it's just kind of like just weird. So I don't know what's going on with that. So
it's all very dark. It's way too dark, and they're way too young to be addressing this story.
Yeah, she's going to do, or what they're going to do to them. So I don't know.
Well,
so,
I mean, obviously,
she'll call Hope and have her shoot him. No,
what will she do to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Chase is still, until they change it soon, I guess, he is 15 years old. Clearly his mother was either a loon or his dad was a loon or there was some combination thereof. So he was not raised in a good situation to start off with.
15 until like 18, or like I think they're close to 18 now. I think, I don't know. This
but
is the
I
way
think,
they've been.
I mean, I just feel like I feel bad for the character because I just, you know, again, obviously, I'm not saying I'm a big Chase fan because I'm really don't have a whole lot of an opinion one way or the other. But I just think that when you think about a young man that's 15 years old and acting out like that and having been through some of the ridiculous, and again, some of them were ridiculous, you know, emotional scenarios that they've said that he has been gone through with his wife, whether it be with his mother and or his father, then, I mean, I do kind of give him a little bit of mercy and saying that he's damaged. He needs help. You know,
right.
More so than get in a chair and be threatened, he needs to get help.
Yeah,
right.
Sooner or later,
well,
I'm sure Hope will find out.
He actually did grow on me. I really liked the little actor who
was
playing him, and he really grew on me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we all know
that's why I hate to see them write him into a corner, because now they're writing him into a corner where he won't be able to get out. You know, we'll lose that character eventually because if he is just demonized and the whole time. And again, I'm not saying I'm just a big rah-rah Chase fan, but I think, you know, the character is too young and has been through too much for them just to, you know, I think just to make it so, just, you know, just hate, so hate-filled and not see that clearly this child has been damaged and he needs help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. Interesting to see
I'll be quiet.
I was trying to think. I'm just looking over my notes to see what. The Victor and Deimos and Caroline and Maggie. Those were some. Victor told Maggie and Caroline what happened. Did you either one of you see that? He told I guess first Deimos said something to Maggie. He says, you know, you don't know the whole story. You should ask Victor. Well, Carolyn was over, and she had the vision of Victor again having a heart attack or whatever. So she went over, and she was talking to him, and he finally told her what he said happened was Deimos seduced this Helena, and her and Victor had an argument because he told her the marriage was off and they were up on the cliff or whatever, and they were talking and fighting, and she lost her balance and she fell. And when she fell down there, somehow they found Deimos happened to be down there and came to her, you know, and he had blood on his hands. He actually was probably helping her, but the police arrested him for the murder, and Victor never said anything. He let him take the fall for the murder. And Carolyn said to Victor, she says, Victor, I have to ask you, did she fall or did you push her? I said, oh, Carolyn, you know.
Ooh, you
said,
go,
no.
Carolyn.
Yeah, go, Carolyn. So, yeah, she says, you know, I have to ask you. And he said, no, that she, you know. And then he proceeded to tell, then he did tell Maggie to what happened. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's, and then, and then Victor came to Deimos' room and got a knife out, and he ripped open his shirt, so we saw the chest. Ooh, Vincent has a nice chest. Anyway.
I will be watching that online.
Were you watching that on there? Woo, nice chest.
I will be watching that online.
not as good as some other
chest,
but that I know, but... but yeah. But anyway, he took a knife, and I don't know what he carved, like by his heart there, like a, you know, but anyway, he put a, like going to hell or something, the devil. He says, you're going to be the devil. He has like a devil horn or something. He carved something in his chest with a knife. Oh, Victor was getting his bad self on with Deimos. And then Deimos took the knife, and he had all pictures. He had pictures out on the table of Caroline, Philip, Victor, and Maggie, I think. And he was getting a knife, and he was stabbing each one of them of the pictures. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there, but that was interesting.
Vincent Irizarry knows how to play an evil character very well.
Vincent, oh yeah. Yeah, he does. So he's doing good. Well, we have a couple callers. You want to take before we have to go? Is that okay?
Sure. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
I was trying to think. I think we covered everything. I think it's Kenneth.
Hello.
Hello, Kenneth. Hi, Kenneth.
Hey, how am I?
Hey,
beautiful.
You're alive.
Hey, Kenneth.
I believe this is Mary Ann, Anna,
yeah.
and Angela.
Yes, Angela, that's it. It was on the tip of my tongue. Hi, baby.
How are you doing?
We're so glad to hear your voice.
My God.
We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yes, it has. I've been away doing a show called Once on This Island, and I played the Agua, the God of Water. So my shows have been on the weekend, so I haven't been around here. And I just got after that show, I just got cast in Dreamgirls. So.
Wow.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
This is very exciting, to say the least.
Well,
but,
that's great news for us, but we
congratulations, but
we have missed you, so we're glad you're here
I have missed you too. There has not been a day that has gone by. I said, you know what? I'm missing my family right now. They're having these juicy conversations and I'm not there to partake and to sip tea. So I was really upset. But I am here tonight to rekindle and to reconnect and to shed some light on the show. You know, it's really interesting because I can clearly tell which stories are Josh's and which stories are Dina's. And I must tell you, by far Josh is the better writer. Dina's, I just don't understand why they continue to beat this dead horse. I mean, it's not like it's gonna like bring life again, and then we have a writing change. You know, and contrary to belief, there's been some publications that have said that Josh was fired, and there was other publications that said that he opted out, and to my understanding. Every writer, well, the head writer, they've always signed a 1-year contract with the option to renew. And I think at that particular time, I guess that 1-year contract was up, and he opted not to return. I find it interesting. Which also leads me to believe, Dina took that time off, and so now we have probably another 6 months of her stories, and I'm not looking forward to it at all. I'm really not at all.
I think it's just the story behind Days of Our Lives would be a very interesting program, much more than any of us could even possibly even imagine, because I know there's got to be the politics of the push and the pull of behind the scenes. When I heard, and actually I think I heard by talking to Marianne, because I really had been kind of out of the loop, and she's the one I think that broke the news to me about Josh. And I do think the show has gotten pretty dark, a little bit too dark in some instances. But, I've read a couple of his books. And, y'all can go on Amazon And you know, and they'll have days where they're some of his books are free. If you're part of Amazon Prime, you can download them and read them. They really are really quite good. And you know, they're always mysteries. They always have a little dark side to them, and there's a detective and that type of thing involved in it. I enjoyed his writing, and so I was a little bit disappointed that days got quite so dark. But you know, when Mary Ann started to tell me about Josh, I immediately thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to bring Ron Carlovati on with Josh? Because I mean, I'm a huge Ron Carlovati fan. I was really upset that, you know, he was let go from General Hospital. He was so talented. You know, he has a law degree. He's a smart man, and he really did tremendous work if you were a One Life to Live fan, too. And, of course, he hasn't been working now for a while. And you know, Days is similar in a lot of ways to General Hospital in that there's such a combination of the show. There's the evil mystery side. There's this a little bit, you know, farcical side, and that's, you know, there's a musical side, and I mean, that's what, you know, Ron does so well, I think. Again, everybody has their own opinions, but I thought that having Josh and Ron work together, and I think at some point, well, during both their tenures at One Life to Live, they must have worked at least together or at least at the same time. I don't know what capacities. But I would have preferred to hear that news than to hear that yet again they have hired Dina back. You know, I talked to someone who has, you know, follows the show pretty closely, and it was just a phone conversation. It wasn't a, you know, an article or anything else. It was just two friends talking, and the comment was made that she said Dina never lasts long, and that's been pretty true. Who knows how long, you know, she'll be around. I think, like I said, Josh Griffith, I think, is a very talented writer. I do think the show got a little bit too dark, but, you know, just switching back and forth to the same writers over and over and over again is foolishness. I mean, I'm over that. I'm just, you know, there are too many talented people out there that are not working, that have done good writing, to keep bringing back someone who didn't write well. I mean, I hate to be harsh, but that's just kind of how I feel.
You know what? And I will also say this. Before Josh came onto the show, you know, things were a little bit boring, and, you know, he made a lot of the characters seem very human to me. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when Hope shoots Stefano, you have this person that's like, you know what? Let's take her to the next level, because we have all these things. He's done all these things, and yet he never pays for. Stefano never pays for anything that he's done. So let's just get to a point to where Hope reaches her boiling point and she's had enough. So let's explore what it's like for her to actually be human. Because, you know, we've always seen Hope as a one-sided person and her whole family, actually. So to see her, to see her become more human, I really appreciated that more so than anything else. And I'm still trying to understand the whole Chase and Sierra story. I find it fascinating. Because you know those sort of things happen in life, whatever circumstances or whatever else, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, it's interesting. What other stories could have told with those kids? So I think about that, and then the fact that Tony actually, well, not Tony, Andre actually, not going to say he initiated, but he kind of made Chase think that, you know, because, you know, he was he's fragile in his mind or whatever else. And so he doesn't know that Andre the mirror person is a bad guy. And so so with that dynamic, that's also interesting. Now, it's a lot of things that I have questions about because it's been so long. So I feel like this is Christmas and I'm opening all my gifts. But with that being said. This business with there were rumors out that Chandler Mass is supposed to come back as Will, and that's something that I'm interested to see how that turns out. And then you have Sonny coming back, and then you have Daniel Cosgrove coming back. So that's I don't understand any of that, but I'm interested to see how that is going to play out.
Can I ask a question and really move to Marianne and Anna too? Because the answer is I've never seen it, but I really am curious. You know, Josh Griffith was the writer on, I guess it was a Nickelodeon program that they did around Pat Falk, the old executive producer of General Hospital, who's now the executive producer of Young and the Restless, and I cannot think of her name right now. Jill Farron Phelps, that's it. Okay, she was the executive producer, and Josh Griffith was the head writer for a program called Hollywood Heights. And I think it was like a 13-week, kind of like a teen soap, that did very well on Nickelodeon. I did not see any of it. And I wondered if any of y'all have ever seen any of it.
No, I've heard of it, but I've never ever seen it.
No.
I might go, if it's on YouTube, I might go and look at it tonight if I have the opportunity. I still have this week some of today's episodes to catch up on, so I'll be busy trying to catch up on that. And if I have time, I'll see what's out there. Now, this was another question that kind of just popped in my head. Oh, and by the way, I want to say hi to everybody that's in the chat room. I've been away for a while. I love you guys, and girls and women and all that stuff. I do have this question. Now, there was also talks that with this renewal, that they were wanting Days to go back to traditional filming. Now, we have not heard a word on as far as if they are doing that or if they're planning on doing that, and how would that actually work if they were to do that, considering that we're five, six months, you know, behind, and so we don't really know what's to come. So that's really interesting about that. And on top of that, what do you guys know about the new co-head writer Ryan? And where in the world is Beth Mills thing? You know, they haven't said anything about her.
About the new writer, so I don't know.
I know she was listed as like a co-head writer. I don't know if it was an old episode that I was watching the other day. Or what? But I noticed that she was listed, but it might have been an old one from way back. But as far as Ryan Kwan, what I've heard is that I think he was interviewed by somebody recently, and he said that all I remember is he said he loves characters like Kate, so I was happy. I think he said Kate, Victor, and I can't remember the other character or two, but I thought, well, praise the Lord, maybe somebody will actually write for Kate. So that's all I know. I mean, we talked last week. Angela, didn't we talk about Ryan
has had a lot of experience from like an internship on up. so easily done. I guess I'm going back to the salute to the General Hospital, but you know, just like Frank Valentini when he was the executive producer of One Life to Live and General Hospital, I think he really is a good executive producer, and he literally and actually Ron Colavati, the writer as well, had taken roles and done almost every job there ever was on those on One Life to Live. And so Ryan has been around for a while and has had, you know, varying positions. So certainly he's never had, you know, a head writer or a co-head writer type role before, so that's new. But he does know the show because he's been with the show for a good while. So, nothing better than to give him a chance. And I think it may have been Carrie or Marianne that was talking about, you know, just the fact that, too, from a financial perspective, you know, obviously since he would not have some of the experience that some others might, it might be a cost savings as well to have someone that that Corday considers to be seasoned. All of us don't consider Higley to be seasoned, but obviously he does. So you get that. Yeah, so we just have to kind of have a strong hope for Ryan.
Is seasoned a euphemism for something else? Is that like code for something?
It's really one more caller, okay, before we have to go.
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'm not going to be rolling. I think it's Bobby. Hello?
Hey, it's me. It's me, Bobby.
Hey Bobby.
First of all,
hey,
how are you doing? I forgot your name again. What is your name again, sir?
My name is Kenneth. I'm on Twitter at KBSoul at I Am Hollywood Woo if you want to follow me, sir.
Okay, well, I'm on Twitter, too, at Bobby Evans, Kenneth, so maybe just send me off a following later on tonight, and I'll follow you in the morning. But it's just a pleasure to talk to you all again. And this afternoon while I was watching Days, I kind of was reminiscing over as I was watching Wednesday's show and reminiscing over what had happened with Stefano. And one thing that really was challenging and hard to maybe actually get would have been to maybe get Allison Sweeney away from the Hallmark Channel mysteries that she and Cameron Madison have been doing lately, to just make a guest appearance on the show to talk about some of the, I know that she and that Sammy and Stefano never saw eye to eye, just talk about that, or to get Eileen Davidson off the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Young and Restless to as maybe Susan to talk about the reminiscent to what happened with Kristen and stuff like that in the past. It would have been just, you know, very interesting, but it would have been hard to get Allison away from the Hallmark Channel mysteries and Eileen away from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and YNR just do an episode like that 3 months ago or 6 months ago at the time.
You mean for the anniversary?
No, not the anniversary. When they were all talking about Stefano's death the other day.
Oh, okay, just on the Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that
would have been a great day. I think they could still do that with a lot of actors that maybe they're not on the show anymore, and mm-hmm. you know, have that fourth wall down. You know, Wally Kurth used to do a great show called One Day With. It was on SoapNet.
Yeah.
And
he's about
there's a lot of potential for that.
Too. And I wonder, because you brought up a good joke earlier in the show about where does Justin apparently Belle and Justin might watch too many Law and Order episodes to just get their lawyer work. Because how is Belle going to just get Steve out of the situation he is when you know that Joey actually killed Ava? So apparently, unless Belle been watching. I think Belle been watching way too many Law and Order episodes and took notes. But I do want to say while I'm on that subject, I think Joey did a great job, because I noticed from last Friday and earlier this week that may have been James Emmy tape for not only next year, this year but next year. I think with the new generation of young actors, you can put him and Vivian as maybe candidates to get maybe daytime Emmys, either, if not next year, the following year. And that would be just maybe a potential. I think they overshadowed Kristen Alfonso very bad because what she did last Friday, that should have been, that at least if it doesn't give her a daytime Emmy next year, then apparently somebody who is doing the votes for days and putting the people in for prenoms, they're going to be heads to roll, as the old saying goes. Because I think Kristen may have just gotten another daytime Emmy bid, and I know with the Emmys nominations coming up in the next few weeks, it's going to be interesting to see what happened. I do want to just say that I did catch maybe just about a little bit of yesterday's show earlier today, and to state on the whole thing. At least Sierra is finally just talking to somebody about what happened to her with Chase, but I think somebody got to just tell Sierra and Hope to just at least have a scene together where at least they can talk about what's going on. Like Chase can talk about what happened. Well, not Chase. Sierra can talk about what happened to Chase, what happened between her and Chase, and Hope can talk about what happened between her and Stefano to Sierra. At least somebody needs to get the memo out to Kristen and Vivian right now to just talk about this in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I think sooner or later Hope's going to find out. So
right, because I know that, because like I said earlier, Kristen did a great job last Friday, and I think if she doesn't get nominated for a daytime Emmy next year for what she did last Friday, I would be shocked again. And I think Vivian, the way she's been handling the rape story, even if she doesn't get nominated or at least win a daytime Emmy this year, then I think it's a shocker. I know that Camille Bennett got nominated for a daytime Emmy last year, but the problem I had with the nomination part is that most of these scenes that she done, she was in prison, she was going to prison, and this is the problem I have right now. Most of the work that she done, she had been on the show every other week or been overshadowed by the teen storyline in recent weeks since her return. So that I think is what may be possibly going to cost maybe Camille a Emmy nomination versus Vivian at the end of the day. And so I would be surprised
Bobby,
to see what happens.
You've got a good suggestion. Maybe this is something Marianne and Anna could even talk with Carrie about, because I think a lot of people had a lot of questions about who got pre-nom, who didn't, why.
Right.
And so soon it'll be the Emmy nominations. I think the Emmys are in April, so it's not far away.
I think it's March 24th that the announcement's going to be made.
Okay. But and I think that would be a good show. Maybe we could do Marianne, Carrie, could do a show where we do nothing but really talk about the nominations, because I think there were some really huge oversights, and then there are other people that were nominated that you just kind of scratched your head about, and so I'll be anxious. I think that'd be worth
that'd
an
be
hour
a good idea.
Of conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And about a year ago, I talked with Marie Wilson this summer. And about a year ago, I talked to Marie Wilson when she was on Daytime After Dark about a year ago, and I will tell you that Marie is probably the nicest person that I ever spoke to. I'm not going to be able to see her in Atlanta in the coming weeks because of money and time and to just get reservations for the Atlanta event and stuff like that, but I have already sent the request to her on Facebook via IM about possibly seeing what will happen with the day stars of coming to Raleigh or Charlotte or Greensboro or Myrtle Beach or Washington down the road. And cause I'll be happy enough to do that because I don't know if Marie Wilson might be in the organization that Debbie O'Connor run, where they have annual events in Orlando, because I know that she supports Martha Madison and Kirsten Storms in their events. So I don't know how that would work out. And I do want to just make a challenge out here to right now, and I will probably just do this as a, maybe tomorrow online if I get a chance. But is it just me, or does Claire look a little bit more like the old Belle? And how much of a coincidence this would have been had Kirsten Storms been Belle versus Martha Madison? I see a twin peak right there. They could play mother and daughter. And because a couple months ago I went to Soap Digest and compared Vivian's acting with Sierra to the actress as Christina now in GH when she first started out, and because I saw comparisons with the acting styles. And I hope that the Daytime Emmy people doesn't screw Vivian out of a Daytime Emmy for her win if just like they did a couple years ago to Lexi, because I would be definitely very shocked and upset if that happened. Because, I mean, I can understand
more.
Well,
about Lexi and Thor?
See what happens. So we'll keep you posted.
I think there's a whole conversation that maybe could be had about the Emmys and so forth. Bobby, one of the things that I really have been impressed with several times you've called is how much you really know about the actress Marie Wilson and the roles that she played. And I guess she was.
Well, I know she was on
Nutmeg
for a while, and As the World Turns for a while.
And so that might be fun too. One night, maybe just you could kind of give us some background. More, maybe not tonight because I know we're running short on time, but I think
I know.
It would be great for you to come. I'm just speaking personally, but just
to
share some information about who she is.
So I'm going to probably be wrapped up here soon. So
Maybe if you can take the suggestion to maybe drop a Twitter note or an email or something to Marie and try to get her on the show in the next few months, then that would be just great. Because I talked to her about a year ago when she was on Daytime After Dark, and I communicated with her the other day on Facebook. And just today I communicated with her on Facebook and wrote her a letter. So that would be great. But
a great idea.
But with that being said, I would like to say goodnight to you all. I'll definitely will check out days when I get a chance next Saturday, and definitely will come back with you on any information. And I will just say that locally around here in North Carolina, on our new NBC station, they're going to be running the ACC tournament on next week, except for Monday and Friday. So it's just been moved to a sub-channel station. So I just want to say for those of you listening in the Raleigh-Durham-Fayetteville area that Days of Our Lives is going to be shown on a sub-channel station if you want to record it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or if you want to wait till 8 o'clock to watch it live or record it on Pop, it will be on at that time. So I just want to just give a program note for those listening in the Raleigh-Durham-Fayetteville area.
It
was great
talking
to you. And
great idea.
I'll be calling back next week definitely and talking about and you all have a good night.
All right.
Bye. Good night.
Bye. Thank you guys.
Nice show. Thanks, Scott.
This was fun.
It was nice to have everybody calling in. It was great. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Ken, I'm glad you checked back in. Are you still there?
Well, I'm always honored. You know, I'm just saying, you girls are just like y'all are the hashtag truth.
It's time. Okay.
I love
you guys. We're so happy that we have you guys. You know,
man.
Kenneth, keep us up to date with what's going on with you.
Yeah. Oh, I will definitely try. Do you guys know Michael Fairman?
Yeah. I read his column. Yeah, or his website.
Okay. We should try to get him on the show. He's a very knowledgeable man as well.
Oh yeah.
A lot of experience. And I have one other quick question. do we know whether or not if we're going to go back to the traditional filming or no?
Yeah, eventually, I think.
Well,
they are.
They're dark for 5 weeks.
For 5 weeks. Started the process, I think. Yeah.
What's that? I think, didn't you say it's going to be like they're going to be about 2 months ahead, which is similar to what General Hospital is doing.
Is what they're going to try to get it down to, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's
because I wasn't sure because I knew that they were doing all that stuff because of the Olympics, which is why I don't know. But anyway. All right.
So
great show, girl.
We'll take what we can get as long as they get it a little bit
closer.
Oh, my God. Can somebody please. Somebody out there, if you're just listening to the show, if you're just care of the show, look. Can somebody please write Dina stories? Please. 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 All right. I'm through. I'm off my soapbox. I love y'all.
I love you too. Bye.
All right, good
night. Bye, Angela.
Have a good week.
Bye, Kenneth. Bye, Marianne.
Bye.
Bye.